Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Holy chutzpah and a bold trust in miracles led Morris and Annie Zeidman to found the Scott Mission in 1941, says tonight's guest Ben Volman. Ben is also the author of More Than Miracles, Elaine Zeidman Markovich, and the Story of the Scott Mission, where he tells the story of the history of the Scott Mission, and especially the life and sacrifice of Morris and Annie's daughter, Elaine Zeidman Markovich, whose ministry at the Scott Mission was rooted in her understanding of the Lord's love and sacrifice for her. Ben is on the phone with us tonight from his office in North York to talk about the book. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Louder from the Michael Austin Harris CD, Glorious Kingdom.
Your love will sing louder, louder. Your love is louder than anything. Louder, louder. Your love is louder than anything. It's louder than the hurricane. It's peace within the pain. Lord, your love is loud. Lord, your
conversation with Ben Volman. Good evening, Ben.
Good evening, Robert. Good to speak to you.
Yeah. Now, let's give our listeners a little bit of information about you. How did you become interested in writing?
Well, I've always been interested in being a writer. That was my original goal when I went to university and began studying English and philosophy at the University of Toronto.
And when you, as you were developing that, have you had other writers who have been influences on you, or other people that have kind of influenced you in your career as a writer?
Yes, I've been very fortunate, I think, at different times to have had some great people came alongside and encouraged me at different times. I was originally planning to be a writer, as I said, long before I became a follower of Yeshua. And in fact, I was very involved in a very different kind of writing vision community when I became a believer while I was at the University of Toronto. I took a very different path. In fact, I actually disappointed a lot of people because I was the I was the assistant editor of the University of Toronto Review, and I was along a path working always with university publications. And then once I became a believer, I moved into a very different direction and didn't know exactly how to bridge where I had been before, and then just changing my whole vision of life, my whole purpose of life as a believer. And then I went to seminary, and I took in a whole different direction again. I never planned to go into ministry. My original goal in being in seminary was to be in religious journalism, and yet I ended up in ministry. And it was not until I stepped out of ministry in the early 1990s that I started to reach back and think again about what I wanted to be as as an individual with writing gifts. I was very, very fortunate, though. I was able to get into religious journalism. Faith Today was a very, very helpful venue for me, and I published a number of articles with them. I then started writing and editing for Messianic Jewish Resources, and I edited and rewrote books for that publisher. And then I was part of the Messianic Times, and eventually I became the publisher of the Messianic Times, writing its editorials and doing extensive work that way as well. So mm-hmm. I moved into a whole very different area, and a lot of it was tied in with journalism, and a lot of it was tied in with covering the events of the international Messianic Jewish community. Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned the Messianic Times, and I think that's when you and I first met, when you were involved with them. When you got into that, you also got into the publishing and more of the administration thing. Was there a preference between being a writer or being an administrator, or was that something that you really fell into as something that was a love in doing both?
Well, Robert, as you know, it's very tough to make it as a writer in Christian circles, and there was necessity for leadership at the Messianic Times when I took it over in 2002, and as a result, I just had to take up those roles. I was always working as a as a contributing editor, and I was constantly writing the editorials. But as you know, editorials are always without your signature. I nevertheless realized that I had to exercise my leadership gifts. Although I preferred to do writing, it was during that time that I completed another large project. It was my goal to finish off a novel. I did that. Although it hasn't been published yet, the responsibility to take over and lead publications is one that writers sometimes have to take up. And as you know, leadership is non-negotiable. Unless somebody steps up, things don't happen.
Well, I want to take a quick, as we, on that note, I think we'll take a quick break here, and then we're going to continue our conversation with author Ben Volman. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
When I gaze upon the cross, I'm in awe of your great love. King of heaven slain for us, the wrath of God upon his son. I see grace and truth, and my heart's come held to glorify you. And I will stand in the glory. Of the greatness of your love.
astray, still you rescued me. Could I ever know the cost of my Savior's suffering for me? I see grace and truth, and my heart's come from hell to glory.
Listening to Anthem from Michael Austin Harris's Glorious Kingdom CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Ben Volman. One of the things, the reason we're talking today is because of a book that has just come out, which you've had a hand in, and that's the More Than Miracles, the story of the Scott Mission and Elaine Zideman Markovich. Where did that whole idea come from? Where did the idea come to put that book together?
Well, I have to tell you that originally, back in 2007, I had time on my hands. I was in between things and looking for what would happen next. I'd left the Messianic Times and I was praying about projects. I had planned originally to publish a novel that I'd worked on, but I had a wonderful writer, Rosemary O'Bear, looked that over, and she said, Ben, this is fine, and if you were doing this, or if you'd done this 20 years ago, you'd get this novel published. But now, publishers are looking, book publishers are looking for much more exciting projects than this. Why don't you leave this, set this aside, work on a few other things, and come back to this book when you're a little bit more experienced as a book author. So I set that aside. I began praying, and one of the things that came to mind as I was praying about the future was Elaine Markovich, who has had an incredibly long history with the Scott Mission. I knew about the Scott Mission very well because I had done work as a seminary student on the history of the mission. And then later, because of the work that I had done, I had been involved with the mission and was often involved in telling people about the history of the mission, even if they worked at the mission. And then at a certain point when I thought about Elaine, I felt very strongly, I felt led that her story needed to be told. And so I began to pray about how I could approach her, and finally an opportunity came to approach Elaine, and I left with her the idea of writing her story. She got back to me a few months later, and we made an arrangement, and I started interviews with her in 2008, a series of interviews that were the basis of this book, More Than Miracles.
And looking at that and looking at the interviews you had with her, do you feel you had the chance to really portray her and her story in the book the way that you wished and the way you think she may have wanted it to be told?
Well, that's a very good point, Robert, because Elaine had been ill for some years. That's one of the reasons why I felt compelled to pursue her. And she began to be much more ill in the fall of 2008, and she was gone by the spring of 2009. And it was very difficult at that point to know exactly how we were going to fulfill the vision of the project. We didn't intend to do a very long book. It was about 75 pages in original concept. But the family approached me and said, look, let's do something larger. Let's do something that will be a tribute to Elaine and to her family. And so I began to interview and did interview all the family members, including current people who are working at the mission. And I also did interviews with people who had known Elaine. Then I went back and I looked at some other sources as well, her diaries, books of Christian character that she had been working on. And I pulled all that material together, with her interviews, and I approached every chapter in a unique way. So at one point, we interviewed Elaine. At another point, I interviewed three people who had worked with her closely. Then I created her story using interviews with people who knew her well and worked with her closely. So together with the family, we were able to create that section of the book so that it reflects her as deeply as we could. I of course, regret that we couldn't have had her edit the final manuscript. It would have been different. But that, together with the story of her father and her brother Alex, that's really the three parts of this book. First, the history, the early history of the mission, especially under her father, Morris. Then the incredible history of her brother Alex, and then Elaine's story.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the fact that you use a lot of other, you use some other source material, the other interviews, diaries, letters, and one of the things I find really neat about the book is the fact that you make choices between the times when you're narrating as the author, but then stepping back and allowing their voices to come through by either quoting from letters that they've written, from some of the newspaper reports that went in. Was that a deliberate choice in terms of really allowing their voices to come through?
Yes, one of the remarkable aspects about Morris Seidman and his tremendous ministry, I mean, we're talking about somebody who powerfully affected the city of Toronto, not because he had this huge ministry, but because he was a powerful communicator. And Morris communicated in every way possible. He connected with newspaper people. When he was leading his mission during the Depression, every day in the Toronto Telegram, there was an article about what was going on at the Scott Mission. An amazing, powerful tool of reaching out and getting people involved. Then, after the Second World War, he created something called the Good Samaritan Corner, which they published in newspapers, essentially telling what was going on at the mission on a weekly basis. The Good Samaritan Corner had a long history, but it turned out there were numerous other ways that he reached people. He had his own radio program at one point. So, incorporating the communications that had been developed by the mission was very much a part of making this whole book reflect more strongly the character of the mission, the character of the people who were involved, because the Good Samaritan Corner itself reflects different eras. And of course, when you interview people and talk to them, they're not thinking just about, and they're not reflecting back to you just their own story. They're reflecting back the different character and work of the times where they were working with this mission, which was, you know, powerfully involved with the story of Toronto as Toronto changed over the years. Toronto was a very parochial city in the beginning of the 20th century when the mission started. People didn't like immigrants very much. In the middle of the century, of course, it became a very strongly immigrant city. And, of course, it became much more sophisticated towards the end of the 20th century. So you're really covering very different periods, very different eras, and changes of mindset. So all that is what has to be covered. The book covers about a century.
One of the things that I always find when you're talking, I can tell the amount of research and that you've done is there's always choices that as a writer and you know, both of us as journalists know this from the stories we written. You always have more research than you can get into an article or into a book. Was there anything that you found in your research that you really wished you could have had in the book, but because of space limitations and things like that, you just couldn't?
Well, that's a great question. The background stories and some of the hidden stories of the mission are quite remarkable, because behind the stories of each one of these individuals is, let's say, private struggles. Now, I've tried to bring out those as much as possible. And you know that I even have a few chapters titled Public Choices, Private Struggles, where I talk about some of the backgrounds of each one of these individuals. But one of the things that I couldn't bring out, for example, was the extent to which the mission was very strongly supported by its board, and at the same time, at one critical point, leadership had to deal with crises, and not just crises, but vision issues. And I didn't cover a lot of that here. I spoke more about what was going on that was visible and was taking place in people's lives. But below that surface, there was a ministry struggling to continually change over time. One of the big changes that happened, of course, was that here was a mission right at the heart of Spadina and College, the heart of the Jewish community. Now, Morris had originally started this mission as a Jewish mission. When he moved it to that area, that was a Jewish area. But when it changed over time, the mission itself had to decide, will it move because the Jewish community had moved, or will it stay and continue to minister into the downtown core? That decision was very, very critical. So things like that couldn't really be covered as thoroughly as I might have wished.
Mm. Well, and I know there's a whole lot more we could probably talk about, but we've got to take one final break and then wrap up our conversation with author Ben Volman. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
I see it rising like the dawn. I can see its embers glowing on the distant horizon.
I feel it swelling in my chest. I hear a million voices singing, and they're leading me to rest. They're crying, freedom, oh, freedom. Cry freedom. I hear the beating of its drum. There's an army that is coming, and it's being led by love. I see the darkness turn to light.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Freedom from the Glorious Kingdom CD by Michael Austin Harris. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with author Ben Volman. Ben, what's been the reaction to the book so far?
Well, this has been a highly appreciated story. The family, the Zeidman family, has really taken this book to heart, and deeply appreciates how the story of their, their loved ones, essentially Morris, the head of the mission, and Alex, who's now gone, died tragically in his mid-50s. And, of course, Elaine, who passed away now a few years ago. So I think there's a very deep appreciation from the family. From others, I think there is a great appreciation, as you've expressed, to know the depth and the full story of a ministry. Most people knew this ministry, of course, as you did, a downtown ministry that helped the poor. They didn't know the extent to which this ministry had been, so remarkably influential in the city in the Depression era, in the post-war era. So there's a lot of interest and appreciation about this being a great Toronto story.
Mm-hmm. And where can people find out more information about it or get a copy of the book?
Well, the book is available online virtually through any of the usual sources online. You can also receive the book, I think, through Castle Key Books, the publisher. And we are getting the word out. The book will officially be launched by the Scott Mission early in May, and there's a book launch planned by the Scott Mission on May 5th. So they are launching the book with an event at that time, and the book should be widely available right now from your usual online sources.
Great. Ben, thanks very much for your time tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today and thinking of my guest, Ben Volman. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.